Amen. The message today, I titled it, Is He Really? And fear is one of Satan's, I think, most popular weapons that he wants to use against us. You know, fear is truly a tool of the devil, and fear takes our eyes off of Christ, and it puts it on something like Satan, and that's where he wants you to be. The most common lie, church, that Satan uses to instill fear into us is that God is far away or that God is absent from our presence. And you and I have to understand what the Bible says. The presence of bad times is usually the greatest persuasion of God's absence. You know, when you're going through some tough times, and we've all gone through them, that's when we begin to question, is God even here? But I want you to remember the various times in the Bible where Scripture reveals where God actually is. He was in the midst of all the wars that were fought. He was in the midst of the famine and the flood, the storms. And God is with us. The Bible says that He is with us. He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Amen. Very easy to say. But sometimes it's most difficult in the midst of the storm to even believe that He is here. Now, we've been going through the Great Commission, and we're going to wrap that up today. But it says, and Jesus came and He spoke to them, and them were the disciples. And He told the disciples that all authority had been given to Him in heaven and on earth. You know that the Bible says in the one passage that what we bind on earth can be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth can be loosed in heaven. Okay? And it all comes because you and I have been granted authority truly of our Lord to go out and do what the Lord has called us to do. I mean, we're not doing this on our own. We're truly doing this because God has given us the authority. Well, what is the authority? What are you and I supposed to do in our life? We're supposed to go. That means get up off our backsides and go. Everybody in this room has an opportunity to reach people that someone else cannot do because of our sphere of influence. So first of all, it says go. And then it says make disciples of all the nations. You know, a lot of times, and I read a great article the other day that, you know, we're more concerned about somebody praying to receive Christ, and then we feel that it's all said and done. But to make disciples means that you share Christ. That gives them access to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But what is so important in the midst of this is that that's just the beginning of the process. You have to teach them the Word of God. You have to teach them the commandments that God has given us. You got to teach them the tools of the trade. You got to help them understand that God is with them. You got to help them understand that they've been given authority over the evil one. You got to help them understand what Satan wants to do, kill, steal, and destroy. So it's not a process when you make a disciple that you share Christ and you're done. This is like you're going to go out there and you take them under your wing and they are yours from now on. The more you grow, the more they grow. Then it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them. And the teaching process is truly a difficult process, but it's a totality. It's what we have to do. And then he says, and lo. It's kind of like, okay, let me wrap all this up, but don't forget, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, we know that Satan causes fear, okay? Anything contrary to the Word of God has to come from where? Got to come from evil, okay? God gives us the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness. He gives all those things to us. But when fear comes in, that ought to be a red flag to us to go, wait a minute, I'm not where I need to be, and I'm not kind of in that direction God wants me to go. I'm kind of getting pulled away. So in Mark, this is a story about the disciples. It says, there arose a fierce gale of wind. The waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. There's not a person in this room at some point in time has not felt that they've been in one of the storms of their life, have not felt that your boat is just about to capsize because of the pressure that God has put on us. We have all been in that boat. Now, Jesus was asleep in the stern. Now, what you don't see on this passage is that Jesus told his disciples, get in the boat and let's go to the other side. What we forget all too often is to listen to the Word of God. If God says it, then we need to do it. He didn't say it's going to be easy. On the contrary, he said, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. But what he did tell the disciples, he says, get in a boat, let's go to the other side. They didn't hear, let's go to the other side. And if they did hear, let's go to the other side, they wanted something very smooth. They wanted, okay, let's just have a nice little trip to the other side. Well, that's not the way life works out for us. And there's one guarantee in life is that there will always be storms. Okay? So what happens is Jesus is asleep. The only thing that they did right in the midst of this passage is they ran to the one who could help. And they ran to Jesus, but they asked the dumbest question that was ever asked. Do you not care that we're about to perish? Now, you know, he's going to give his life for them. So, yes, he cares. And he cares for everyone in this room. Amen. But I am going to tell you all that he wants us in the boat. He will take us to the other side. I don't know how he takes you, but he takes you to the other side. And we have to stand on that promise. And then they asked, do you care that we're perishing? And he wouldn't have gone to the cross for the New Testament believer if he didn't care. Okay? You've got a hand clap of praise this morning. Now, the scripture says, and he got up. It's the only time in scripture that you'll ever see where Jesus was actually down and he got up. And he took a stand on behalf of those disciples. But what he did, he'll do for us. The Bible says that he rebuked the wind. The word rebuke in the Greek means I command. He's not asking, he's commanding, and he says to the wind, and I love the picture, hush, be still, stop your nonsense. And see, he looks at Satan in the same way. I mean, he truly looks at Satan and says, stop your nonsense. I'm not playing with you. Stop it. So, and the wind died down, and the scripture says there was a perfect calm. Now, we've all been on the waters, and when the wind quits, the waves are still like this. But on that day, there was a perfect calm. But then he asked him a question, and it's a question he asks us all the time. Why are you afraid? And why do you still have no faith? Well, what's the definition of faith? Being sure of what you hope for. It's a certainty. It's a conviction of things that we haven't seen. And then it says they became so afraid that they asked this question. Who is this that can still the winds and the waves and the storms of life? And they found out that his name is Jesus. Now, church, we have to find out the same thing. Amen. I promise you, we're on that boat. And if you haven't got on that boat, you're about to get on the boat.
Amen.
And if you're on the boat, you better stay prayed up because you're going to go through a storm. But Psalms 23 says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow, and the word death in Hebrew means darkness, but even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, it says, don't be afraid. Well, I got to tell you sometimes, I'm like, say what? No, I'm scared, dude. You know, I mean, I'm a little afraid. Kind of like Paul and Silas in jail. I don't know if I'd be singing in that chorus. I'm just telling you. You know, I'd probably be over there whining in the back, you know. But they sitting there singing and praising God. You know, it's easy to say that you could till you're put in that position. And it's easy to say right here, you know, oh, it's cool, man. No, it's not, because you don't know how you act unless you know what you're standing on. And we're standing on the Word of God. Amen. And you and I got to help each other with that. Now, in Mark 6, seeing them strain. Do you think God doesn't know that you're going through challenges in life? Do you think that he can't look down and go, you know, my kids are really having a tough time? You know, he's looking for a job, or they lost a job, or the family's not doing too good. There's a little rift within the midst of the family, or sickness has come, or, you know, we're having. What do you think God doesn't know? Well, sure, God knows. So he says, seeing them strain at the oars, for the wind was against them. What is Satan's task? To steal, kill, and destroy. If you think Satan wants you to go to the other side like you're gliding on ice, you are absolutely fooling yourself. And it says, for the wind was against them. It was the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm driving outside and I'm on the water someplace and I see somebody walking on the water, if you think I'm not going to get scared, you lying to yourself, okay? We all going to get scared. And they got scared. And it said he intended to pass them by. I can only imagine why he wanted to pass by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost. And they cried out. I'd have been the biggest crier in the group, okay? For they all saw him, and they were terrified. Who do you think puts the terror in them? It is Satan. Satan wants us to live in fear. And Satan wants you to get up in fear. Satan wants you to go to bed in fear. Satan wants you to walk all day long in fear, because if it is, your eyes are on him and they're not on Jesus. And he wins. And then he says, take courage, it's me. And then they got into the boat with him, and the wind stopped. They were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. Now, this was right after Jesus fed the 5,000. They saw the miraculous power of God. How many times have you, over the last 5 years, seen the miraculous power of God in your life? Everybody has.
Amen.
But I got to tell you that we lose sight all too often just because we focus on the fear and not on the promises of our God. And it says, and their heart was hardened. Now in Joshua, these are the promises that God has made us. First of all, he says, have I not commanded you? So it's a question for all of us. You got to ask it and you got to answer it. And the answer is yes. He has commanded us. He said, be strong, church. Be courageous. And don't tremble. And don't be in dismay, for one reason. For the Lord your God is with you. Where? Wherever you go. If you go to the right, he's with you. If you go to the left, he's with you. If you go north, he's with you. You know, when I go to the doctors, I take my Bible most of the time, and I read the Word of God. I read Psalms 91 when I go to the doctors, you know, because the Lord is with me. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. And even if I don't take the book, he's still with me. But the thing that is so important in the midst of this is it's not the book. The book isn't for him. The book is for me. So that I can remember the promises of God.
Amen.
Now in Isaiah 41:10, he says, do not fear. Okay, fear comes from Satan. So he says, do not fear, for I'm with you, and do not anxiously look about you. What do you think about that one? You know, when we really get scared, don't we just kind of look around? I mean, we kind of lose sight of everything. So he says, don't anxiously look about you, for I'm your God.
Amen.
I am the one that strengthens you.
Amen.
Not Satan, not friends, not doctors, not pills, not medicine, not drugs, not booze. Our God is the one that strengthens us. And he says, surely I'm going to help you. But I love the rest of this, surely. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
Amen. Give God a hand clap for this. You know, how many times have you been knocked down to the ground? And you know, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not the fact that we get knocked down, because both get knocked down. The difference is that Christians get back up.
Hallelujah.
And how do we get back up? Because the righteous right hand of God says, come on, and let me get you back up, and I'm right here with you, and we can keep doing it again and again. In Deuteronomy, he says, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid or tremble at them. See, when evil comes against us, you and I have got to start quoting the Word of God. And maybe if someone is not quoting it, maybe you help them quote it. Maybe you quote it for them. Because I got to tell you, there's a point in time where you just don't know what to say.
Amen.
You don't know what to do. And you need someone that's there to go, let me help you. Let me get you through where you need to be. And he says, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. See, we don't walk through this life alone as a Christian. And it says, he will not fail you, and he's not going to forsake you. Zephaniah says, the Lord your God is in your midst. Now, how awesome is that? No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. Now, I got to tell you, that doesn't mean that you're going to be happy. You know, there's no place in Scripture where God says, I created you to be happy. What he did say is, I'm going to give you joy. And joy is what you find in the midst of the storm. Okay? And then he says, he will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. And you know, I laugh up here in my heart. But I love it when Ann, and I can never say, but Ann and Emerson, but you know, I mean, she's gone through a whole lot. And boy, when we really start to pray, she'll go, woo, 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 you know, and I'm like, God bless you. Just get it, you know. And we all need to get to that place that we just shout, because God is with us no matter where we are, what we're doing, where we're going. We got to get excited because God is with us and he'll never leave us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, Romans 8, you got to ask yourself this question. For I am convinced, are we? I think sometimes yes, and I think sometimes no. But I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights or depths, nor any other created thing, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Now, to this to work, the key here is, I'm convinced. What is faith? Being sure of what you hope for. But it is the conviction of things that you have not seen. You know, Phyllis Long, and y'all keep Phyllis in your prayers. She got the message from the doctor the other day, and you know, from the doctor's point of view, it's not good. I mean, there's a timetable that the doctor set for her. But when Pam and I went up there, I said, whose message will we believe? Are we going to believe the doctor's message, or are we going to believe God's message? And I loved it. Hospice came in, and hospice looked at her, and hospice says, I got to tell you something, Miss Phyllis. Till your will and God's will join together, you ain't leaving this side. And she says, here's what we're going to do. We're not preparing you to die, but we're going to prepare you to live the days that God has given you. So keep her in prayer, because in the midst of her storm, it's very easy for our eyes to look at fear. And when you begin to miss the big picture, you forget about the problem, the promise, and you focus on the problem in our life. Now, Hebrews 13 says, make sure. Now, this isn't kind of a request. This is make sure that your character is free from the love of money. And, you know, it's about anything that would take your focus off of the Lord. Be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you. I will never, ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.
Amen.
What will man do to me? Now, again, there's two words. One is make sure. The second one is be confident. And that's where you and I have to grow spiritually in our lives. That's where we take the Word of God and we stand on it, we read it, we mark our Bibles up, and that we use that Word, because life and death is in the power of the tongue that we have. Now, here's one of the things that I love, and it's a visual picture for all of us. But it comes from 2 Kings. It says, now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and he's gone out, behold, he looks and he sees an army with horses and chariots, and they were circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? We have all been there where we got up and felt that the world was against us. We've all got up and went, I have no clue what I'm going to do. We've all got up and went, man, I do not know how to get out of this mess. I don't have the money to pay the bills. I don't like the doctor's report. My marriage is falling apart. I can't get the job. We've all been there in the midst of that, and we've asked ourselves the question, what am I going to do? Well, here's what's happening. We're not working here, guys. Okay, well, it's me and the Lord from here. So, but in that passage, what is so important is that the attendant goes out and he begins to look. And what he wants to look at, he doesn't see. And finally he goes, I want you to look out there and I want you to see what the Lord has done. Okay? I want you to see all that's out there. And he saw the Lord's army out there. He saw everything out there. But see, sometimes we can't see. I prayed this morning before I left the house for our family, and my prayer was that God would station his ministering spirits around us and that they would render service on our behalf. And I think it's most important in the midst of that to truly understand that it is the Lord and that the Lord has provided for you and me all that we need, but the Lord has an army of angels that are out there that surround us, that walk with us, that guide us and lead us. And if we could only see what the Lord has done for us, you would absolutely be amazed. When the Shunammite woman, when, you know, her child died, one of the things that the story is so great, you would have thought she'd have been wrapped in fear. You would have thought that, you know, here's her child dead in her arms. She takes a child, she puts the child on the bed, and then she asks her husband, get the servants and tell the servants to saddle up a mule for me. I got to go. And when her husband said, what's wrong? She said, all is well. And then she finally saw, and the Bible says, where did she go? She went to the man of God. When we are fearful and when we are in struggling, where do we go? You have to go back to God, okay? And then when the man of God saw her, she says, what's wrong? She says, everything is okay. And if you and I stand on the word of God, no matter what Satan sends our way, you and I can have the same response that she does, all is well. Because God has never left us, and he'll never forsake us. Amen? Amen. Let me leave you with this little thought. There's a native tribe, and one of the things that they had to do for the right of manhood, when a child becomes 13 years of age, they blindfold this child, they walk the child for a mile out into the wilderness. No knives, no nothing. They walk him out there and they put him in a place that he's never been in his life. There he goes, and he's blindfolded, and there he sits, and he has to stay there all night long. He hears the coyotes begin to bark. He hears the limbs crack, and his little mind is going crazy about all the things, the wolves that could come or the snakes that could crawl up, but he sits there all night long. And then in the morning, when the sun begins to rise, and the fear has gripped him all night long, he takes off his little mask. And what he sees in the distance is his daddy. His father sat there right in front of him all night long, never left him and never forsaked him. Amen. And he was always there. If a human daddy will do that for his son, how much more will our Heavenly Father do that for you and for me? Amen.